Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app. Boeing made some big moves today, but will it be enough? That is What's Trending, brought to you by Legacy Group Capital Northwest Fund.
What's Trending? You can't make this up.
So the CEO, David Calhoun, steps down at the end of the year. Now, I guess that's something. I mean, he should be stepping down now, but he'll step down at the end of the year. The commercial airplanes president and CEO, Stan Deal, he is, as of right now, as of today, out. We are all supposed to pretend that this was a retirement. That is how it's being framed. And boy, are they sticking to that talking point. Oh, no, this is a retirement. He always intended to retire right after a whole bunch of controversies that could potentially ruin Boeing, at least on the consumer side of things. But they're just purely coincidental. Purely coincidental. Now, the chairman of the board is not going to be holding on to that position for much longer. Apparently, there is an election in May. He said, I'm not running again. But again, purely coincidental. Now, this obviously comes after weeks and weeks and weeks of really, really bad press. And some of it, I think, was unwarranted and unfair. But a lot of it was brought on Boeing by Boeing. Boeing did this to themselves, or itself. They made the choice to react the way that they did to some horrible news. They could have gotten ahead of the story. They could have cooperated with the NTSB investigation. NTSB says, well, they haven't been cooperating, and they had to get called out publicly before they did. That is not how you win back the confidence of consumers. And perception is all that matters when it comes to, really, anything that impacts the economy. If you perceive a company to be amazing, well, they're going to benefit. If you perceive a company to be unsafe, they're going to get hurt. It doesn't even matter if it's true. Perception is what drives all of our decisions. And if enough travelers say, well, I perceive Boeing to be a little bit too unsafe, you're going to start to see a lot of shifts in which planes end up getting purchased. A good example was Korean Airlines and Japan Airlines last week. Japan Airlines put in an order for Airbus. They had a few from Boeing, but very clearly this impacted it. Korean Airlines, they put all of their orders in during their last buy last week for Airbus. That is bad news for Boeing. Now, does Boeing only do this? No, of course not. Boeing is involved in lots of other parts of our economy. However, it's not, quote unquote, too big to fail. There could be a consequence both locally, nationally, and really even internationally. Now, on CNBC, David Calhoun went on. He was asked a really dumb question. Why are you leaving?
I've entered my fifth year. The end of this year, I'll be close to 68 years old.
Oh, God, this poor man. He worked for 5 years. Oh, my God. He's like 68 years old. Oh, my God. So you're telling me you would have left anyway? You were going to make this decision anyway?
I've always said to the board, and the board has been very prepared, I would give them plenty of notice so that they could understand and plan succession in regular order. And that's what this is about. It's me giving them notice that at the end of this year, I plan to retire. And then them taking the actions that they've taken. I'm actually very proud of the way the board has handled everything. Very deliberate.
They were deliberate? Well, that's not good. What do you mean they were deliberate? So they deliberately withheld documents from the NTSB? They deliberately didn't tell the NTSB the names of employees that they wanted to actually investigate? That was deliberate? Okay. I mean, they were successful to a point, I guess. But at the end of the day, we've heard from enough whistleblowers now that have said pretty consistently, this is a company that values putting out the plane, putting out the product as quickly as humanly possible. Not really worrying about whether or not it's truly safe enough to get into the air. Just put it out there. The pilots will do the rest. So what will you do about that? How are you going to change that mentality? He had some words They created sentences that I guess made sense, but he doesn't really say anything here.
Remember, we did a stand down immediately after the accident.
Yeah.
And we listened to all our own folks, and we have this bad habit in our company, and actually in many large companies that have to assemble big products. When you do work out of a position, the message you send to your people is, and maybe that work was moved because of a shortage, maybe it was because you're trying to fix something that was non-conforming, but when you move it down the line, it sends a message to your own people that, wow, I guess the movement of the airplane is more important than the first-time quality of the product. And we have got to get that in way more balance, but without a doubt. Okay.
So how are you going to fix it? We've got to get it in way more balance. No, but how are you going to address it? By getting it in way more balance, whatever that even means. At the end of the day, this happened because you allowed it. This is the guy who's at the top of the company. The culture is determined by upper management in how they react to issues on the ground. The question is, why did this happen in the first place? How did this happen in the first place? Why did you not address it? And what other fuselage door incidents will we have to deal with? No one thought about the fuselage door. There's not a single person outside of aviation, and perhaps most people in aviation, who even knew what a fuselage door was. No one saw that coming. So what's the next thing that no one saw coming because of this level of cultural mismanagement? And before you focus on your next plane, because they're like, oh, we're going to work on a new plane coming out soon. That's a big undertaking. Cool. Great. Awesome. Could you maybe fix the 737 MAX issues? Could you come out and say we are 100% confident that nothing like this is going to happen, at least not because of anything we did or didn't do? Because I hear pilots like this dude talking to CBS.
What makes that airplane safe right now are the pilots that are flying it. It sure isn't the quality of production by Boeing that senior management has initiated.
That's not reassuring at all. You're telling me the only thing that's getting in the way of a crash is the pilot when something goes wrong on the plane. With all due respect, I'm sure he's a wonderful pilot, but there's some stuff that you have no control over. Like a fuselage door breaking off at 30,000 feet, which means pretty much all the passengers are going to be dead. Unless they're able to get that oxygen mask on within like 2 seconds, they're going to be dead. And by the way, we were also previously told by a whistleblower who mysteriously died by suicide that the oxygen system wasn't working. Like 1 in 4 did not work properly. My luck, I would get that one. Although in first class, I don't think we have special people put it on for us, don't they?
I mean, especially for you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously for me. But that dude doesn't reassure me at all. So what's going to happen next? I don't know. They're going to hope that this settles some of the concern down, and it most likely will. Who they tap fully to take on these roles, we'll see. They've got an interim in place, an interim who's been a longtime executive there. So she takes over as of today. I'm assuming, I haven't gone on Twitter to look into how Boeing news is being responded to. I'm assuming people are going to say, that's a lady. That means DE&I. No, it doesn't. She's been there for a very long time. She's not there post DEI. So we'll see what ends up happening. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Legal.
So today, Donald Trump went into a courtroom in New York saying this.
Thank you very much, everybody. Are you going to get
It is a witch hunt. It is a hoax. He was very polite. Thank you. Now, today was the deadline to post the $454 million bond, which is absurd, or face Letitia James seizing his properties, his assets in New York. And she was very eager to do that. She made it clear that everyone knew she was very eager to do that. And as a result, she just put the cherry on top of knowing that she was always doing this for political gain. This was always driven by politics. And the appeals court, for the fifth time, they said, yeah, the lower judge was wrong. $454 million, this is insane. So they offered Donald Trump a huge victory by slashing it to $175 million, which is, you know, it's also a lot of money. But from his perspective, this is something that you can easily handle. if you're Donald Trump. He just has to pay for it within the next 10 days. Don't know yet, as you heard at the top of the hour with Fox News, when he's going to do this. I saw a weird amount of dunking on Donald Trump over the weekend. Eric Swalwell, which, by the way, can we add Eric Swalwell to the list of people who blocked me on X/Twitter?
How many people do you have at this point?
Look at the list. We literally have a list. Even, you know, every time I tell you to look at a list that's an actual list, you have no idea.
No one told me where they were.
I got them. I'll send you the links. We have an actual list of the people who have blocked me. In his case, I made one too many Fang Fang references on his account. So I was probably asking for it. But he was amongst the people who were dunking on Donald Trump for not being able to get a bond on $454 million, which tells you how little these people know about finances and bonds. And pretty much no one could. Warren Buffett could come out there and they would say, yeah, no, we're not going to give you a bond on $454 million. And obviously, he doesn't have that kind of cash on hand. No billionaire or millionaire has that kind of money in cash. Sorry, that's not how it works. We get this like weird claim from folks on the left, and they do this all the time. They act as if the wealthy go home to their big mansions and they go ahead and swim in pools of gold coins. Like what was that? The Duck McDuck? Remember him?
Scrooge McDuck?
Was it Scrooge? Was he wealthy?
Yes.
Okay, was him. He did that. I have vague memories as a child of him swimming in pools made of gold coins. They think that that's how all these billionaires are or millionaires are. That's clearly not the case. They're wealthy because of investments. And in this case, we're talking about real estate investments. That's where he has made his money. I know a lot of people say, oh, well, he's not very good. They've been all scamming people for... Really? They were scamming people? I love this. Because you hear in this particular case that there was some big victim, in which there wasn't, that there was fraud because Donald Trump got a loan for which he paid back fully, going through the process that quite literally everyone in his position has gone through in real estate. And we've heard this be made over and over and over by people who have no connection to Donald Trump and probably don't even like him. When you're looking for a loan on property, when you're trying to assess the value of property, you've got the bank wanting to pretend that you have as little as humanly possible in value out of that property. And then you, on the other hand, try to point out, oh, no, it's way more than what you're saying it is. That's how this works. Then you come to a compromise where no one is happy and you move on. That is not fraud. That is quite literally how all of this works. And so this silly case is going to get thrown out on appeal. And it may take a long time because that's just how the process is. Takes a long time. We're not going to get any news on this ultimately before the election. This is going to go on and on and on. But in the end, he will be on the right side here. Because New York, I guess, could do one of two things. They could completely upend the real estate industry. I suppose they can do that and start going after everybody who works in real estate. But something tells me they're not going to do that. Because this was always about going after Donald Trump, which is one of the biggest reasons why it's going to be completely rejected when it gets fully appealed. So here was Donald Trump when he left today.
So I greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and I'll post either $175 million in cash or bonds or security or whatever is necessary very quickly within the 10 days. And I thank the appellate division for acting quickly. But Judge Engoron is a disgrace to this country, and this should not be allowed to happen. Thank you very much.
Now, he's talking about Arthur Engoron, the original judge who, upon learning there was a camera inside the courtroom, started to mug for it. And it was at that point you kind of knew where this guy stood. He was clearly partisan from the beginning. And again, when you have five of your decisions be overturned on appeal, you're either an incredibly incompetent judge and or you're a partisan judge. Now, he's clearly a partisan judge. Whether or not he's incompetent, I don't know. But this was good news today for Donald Trump. And someone clearly got in his ear and said, be nice to the appellate courts. Be nice. Because you never hear Donald Trump talking like that. You never hear him say, thank you. That was actually reasonable. They were kind of fair to me. quite the opposite. He goes in with one attitude, he comes out with a better one. And maybe because he really understands that this is a good look. Because again, he can point to something that happened trying to hurt him. And all even, again, perception matters. If he's perceived as being a victim of politics, he's a victim of politics. And he is perceived, according to polls, that he is a victim. And I think that's right. You have one case going after him, harder to make that claim. You have a whole bunch. You have Fannie Willis and her drama. All of that adds up. It really does. You have now folks going after the judge in Florida because of a decision that was made that they believe benefits Donald Trump. Oh, she should be kicked off the court. She can't be. Like, everyone relax. Because if you think this is hurting him, again, look at the polls. Has there been a single poll that has indicated this is hurting him? No, they all say exactly the opposite, that it's helping. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So earlier today, the UN Security Council passed a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire. The U.S. decided to abstain. They did that because they wanted to put pressure on Israel because they're feeling pressure from Michigan. They could have killed this with a veto. They've done it before. This time they chose not to. And it's quite simple. They're looking at their polling in Michigan. They're seeing that they're underwater there. In particular, they're being hurt by the anti-Semites who live there. Nice little community of anti-Semites who actually can, in a very close race, hurt the president. And he needs Michigan to win. He cannot win re-election if he doesn't win in Michigan. And every single poll right now shows him losing in Michigan because you have a large Arab American population, about 2.5%, that are pretty ticked off about this one issue. And so they think that allowing via an abstention, a ceasefire to be called for, not a permanent one, by the way, they think it's going to move the folks on the ground, which it doesn't. All this does is alienate allies in Israel and likely alienate American Jews, who are overwhelmingly siding with Israel. Most people side with Israel. That wasn't always the case. Now, Netanyahu, in response to this, decided that he's going to cancel the delegation going to the White House this week. The White House is saying, oh, I don't know why they would do that. That doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does. You've offended them. They were going to talk with you about alternatives to boots on the ground in Rafah, which is where there is the remaining Hamas foothold. And yes, lots of civilians, none of whom would be in harm's way right this moment if the hostages were released. But they're choosing not to do that. Instead, they're calling for a ceasefire. The ceasefire would be for the remainder of Ramadan, because I guess it's unfair to have terrorists killing Jews while fasting. That's just mean. How could you do that to them? They don't have their full Jew-hating energy because they're not eating for Ramadan. This is just not fair. Now, of course, no one said anything about the holiday on October 7th that the folks in Gaza, not just Hamas, but their enablers and supporters, they used that day to attack a whole bunch of Jews. No one said anything about that. But instead, they're going after Israel. So why exactly, John Kirby, spokesperson for the White House, why'd you all abstain?
The president makes decisions based on the national security interests of the United States. And this decision to abstain on this resolution is in keeping with the national security interests of the United States. And quite frankly, it's in keeping with the national security concerns of the Israeli people.
Oh, you know, that explains it. Thanks, John Kirby. The White House is acting on behalf of Israelis. They don't have their own government to do that. Man, thank you so much for white knighting an entire country. That's awesome, John Kirby. Now, over the weekend, you started to hear, yet again, the rhetoric start to shift. Now, if you were going to give any one person the duty of sending a nuanced message to an ally in a way that will not completely and I mean completely harm our relationship, while also at the exact same time signaling to the younger anti-Semitic base of the progressive movement that, don't worry, we kind of see your position and we're going to work behind the scenes. That's like a nuanced position to take. You don't give it to Kamala Harris. She is not capable in any way tackling that issue. And yet that's precisely what it is she's done. And by the way, she studied a map.
Let me tell you something. I have studied the maps. There's nowhere for those folks to go.
Real quickly, how many maps did you have to look at for Gaza? It's not large. What are we doing here? How many maps? And did you, in all of your study, did you notice that other country that borders Gaza that's not filled with the Jews? Did you notice that one, that whole Egypt thing? Anyone want to talk about why they're not letting anyone in? Anyone want to say why we're not getting aid coming in from the Egyptian border? Oh, no, because it's all being fueled by anti-Semitism, so we completely ignore the folks who are also responsible here, who are not the Jews.
And we're looking at about 1.5 million people in Rafah who are there because they were told to go there, most of them. And so we've been very clear that it would be a mistake to move into Rafah with any type of military operation.
A mistake, but would there be consequences if he does move forward?
Well, we're going to take it one step at a time.
What does that mean? What's the first step if he ignores you? That's the question. We're going to take it one step at a time. I'm going to have to look for another map. Someone show me a map, and then I'll be able to properly answer this question. She's got a map. Kudos. By the way, does anyone actually think she knew what she was looking at on that map? Does anyone think that? She only responds to Venn diagrams. We've heard that over and over and over again. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages when we come back. Oh my gosh. Did left-wingers over at NBC News absolutely lose it because they decided to hire a Republican female voice? I know, I was shocked too. We're going to get into the most ridiculous responses when we come back on the Jason Rand Show.
If Israel did win, would the American media even know what they're looking at? We'll look at the evidence from the Magic 8-Ball of Evidence, Brian Suit Show, on Monday morning.
The Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I would appreciate it if the Trump campaign and anyone working on their behalf would stop sending me so many text messages every single hour. It is driving me nuts. On Friday, I had 7 text messages. 7. People I know don't even text me that much, but that's because they don't like me. But 7 is too many. And today I'm at 4. I'm already at 4. Enough. I didn't even sign up. They took my number somewhere from the dark web. Oh my God. I'm already voting for you. I don't need this. So over the weekend, you started to hear a lot of angry progressive journalists. They don't consider themselves progressive journalists, but we don't lie to you about their political ideology. They are progressive. And they were livid that NBC News, home to Jen Psaki and Simone Sanders, formerly of the Biden administration, they are mad that the company just hired Ronna McDaniel as a contributor. Of course, she's formerly the RNC chairman, chairwoman, chairperson, chair they, I don't know. Now, they say they're upset because she has integrity issues, because she was calling attention to election integrity concerns, security concerns. Now, she wasn't going all in on it was a stolen election. She didn't do that. But she pointed out, I thought, reasonably so, hey, y'all just changed a whole bunch of stuff for COVID. And you didn't do it the right way. You didn't go through the legislatures like you're supposed to. There were some issues. Now, that's what they say they're upset about. But the truth is, they just don't want another GOP voice. They probably already have the one, and they're upset with having another. They certainly don't like it that it's a female GOP voice because it undercuts all their messaging around abortion alienating women. And now you're going to have someone who's going to be able to respond to any of the progressive women on NBC News talking incessantly about access to abortion, which you know was going to be a huge issue in this election because that's quite literally all the Democrats have that was working. It's not going to work anymore, But it clearly worked the last time. And they don't want to have to push back against someone saying, whoa, 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 hold on. That's not quite accurate. They don't want that voice. Now, yesterday she was on Ronna McDaniel with Kirsten Welker from Meet the Press. It was like 20-minute interview, 20, 25-minute interview. And it was framed, a lot of it was framed, around a comment that she had made, Ronna McDaniel, while she was on with Chris Wallace a couple, what was it, 3.5 years ago.
Joe Biden's the president.
No, I didn't ask you whether he's the president.
No, I don't think that,
Do you think he won the election?
I think there were lots of problems with 2020. But there were lots of problems with the 2020 election, 100%.
And that's fair.
But I don't think he won it fair. I don't. I'm not going to say that.
I can't believe she said that. Oh, my God. I mean, she's not even running for Senate in California. Oh, yeah. Didn't forget about that. So she goes on with Welker. It gets a little contentious.
He won. He's the legitimate president.
Fair and square?
Fair and square, he won. It's certified. It's done. But
Why has it taken you until now to be able to say that?
She said that on this show. I've interviewed her. Now, she's going to correct Kristen Welker, who's in the position of having to go hard after Ronna McDaniel because she knows there are a lot of liberal reporters there who are upset and they were watching this and she had to impress them.
Push back a little because I do think it's fair to say there were problems in 2020. And to say that does not mean he's not the legitimate president.
But Ronna, when you say that, it suggests that there was something wrong with the election.
Hold on. It suggests that she has some concerns about some of the things that happened in the election. That's all that it means. And I know that's what she means because that's literally what she's been saying.
You know that the election was the most heavily scrutinized. Chris Krebs said it was the most secure election in modern history.
Oh my God, Chris Krebs said that? Chris Krebs, the guy people had to Google to figure out who he was? That guy said it? He's the former director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA. He's the one who ended up hiring Kim Wyman.
I'll give you an example. It suggests still that you're giving credence to these allegations.
You have states like Pennsylvania go from 260,000 mail ballots in 2016 to 2.6 million, saying, you know what, when you get rid of ID for all mail-in ballots, that's a concern. We should all be concerned about the care, custody, integrity of every ballot. But that's all I'm saying. And you know what? This is a viewpoint of a lot of Republicans, and they think Joe Biden's the president, but they also think there were problems, and both can be true.
Both can be true, and both are true. There are some valid concerns. Is there massive scams going on? No. No. Do problems happen? Do people try to cheat? Yeah, absolutely. We found some of them here in Washington State. Was it enough to change the results of an election? No. No. Now, the people who stand in the way of wanting audits, the people who do that, they fear that something will actually be discovered. Because if they didn't have that fear, they would say, just as a matter of policy, yeah, have at it. We should do audits after every single election. We want to make sure that absolutely everyone is convinced our systems are as strong as possible, as safe from fraud as possible. We want everyone to say what Chris Krebs said, which was, oh, yeah, I have a lot of faith in this particular institution. So after the interview, Chuck Todd, the guy who used to host until they looked at the ratings and said, okay, we can't do this to ourselves anymore. So they moved him out. He was on the show playing the literal white knight to Kristen Welker.
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Chris Christie's on ABC. Oh, that's sorry.
Oh, you an apology? For putting you in this situation.
Oh, they owe you a
because I don't know what to believe.
Uh-huh.
She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. Well, yeah. I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract.
That's a good point.
She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her?
Is Jen Psaki speaking on behalf of NBC, where she works, or is she speaking on behalf of the Biden administration, where she previously worked, quite literally in a position to spin everything in their favor? Have you ever heard a single voice over at NBC News who spoke out at all when it came to the hiring of Jen Psaki or Simone Sanders, the former spokesperson for Kamala Harris. They ended up parking her on the, I think it was on the Peacock network, on the streaming. No one actually watched it. And I think they moved her now to just being an on-air commentator from time to time. But did anyone complain about that? Did Chuck Todd come out there and say, oh, this is really bad? I mean, we don't really know if she's working for the White House anymore or if she's only saying what she's saying because she doesn't want to ruin her contract. Well, hey, Chuck Todd, your on-air contributors, yeah, they say things so they don't end up getting fired because they're getting a huge payday from, in this case, NBC News. I didn't hear anyone complaining at all about all the Biden staffers and former Obama staffers that went over to CNN and are in positions of just straight news. No one said anything. But you see, Ronna McDaniel, oh, this is one step too far.
What, once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here?
Hey, dum-dum. You understand that that was once part of the job, yes? You know what also is part of the job? When you no longer are employed by the RNC, you no longer speak on their behalf. That's also part of the job. That's how this works. Do you not understand that?
I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions.
Not really.
And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this because
she's a Republican.
Many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting. Have been met with character assassination.
You know, the nerve for anyone on the left to complain about gaslighting. The folks who told us, crime crisis? What crime crisis? There's no crime crisis. The people who told you, actually, it was Republicans who wanted to defund the police. The ones who told us there was no issue at the border whatsoever. You're going to tell us, after saying the pullout in Afghanistan was brilliant, it was the best military example they've ever given the world, this is how it's done. You're going to talk to us about gaslighting? Really, Chuck Todd? I mean, seriously. And please tell me how you've never had any problems with people lying to you on the left. When you have Nancy Pelosi up there, she was just there a couple weeks ago. Was she lying about anything? Oh, no, she was totally honest because she's not a Republican woman. This is just such nonsense. And everyone knows it. But I do like that they're all upset.
When NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News?
Just real quickly, just speaking of your credibility, I follow you guys on Twitter, and your account is like Teen Vogue. Their account has become Teen Vogue, and they push a lot of the garbage DEI stuff. They push a lot of the cultural war stuff. And of course, all Republicans are bad, and all Democrats are good. That's what they do, but please tell us about your reputation.
And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access. Access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that.
Please don't. I'm willing to have that debate.
And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible.
You know, there's not a single executive at NBC who heard this and said, oh man, Chuck Todd's upset. We've got a problem, folks. We have an all hands on deck emergency meeting. I don't care. It's Sunday. Get everyone into the office. Chuck Todd is upset with us. Literally no one said that, but they might have remembered an interview he gave with John Lewis when Donald Trump became president.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president. Huh.
You do not consider him a legitimate president.
He doesn't seem all that outraged.
Why is that?
Why is that?
I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected.
That was debunked.
And they helped destroy the candidacy of Hillary Clinton.
They hurt her. I mean, she did end up using actual quote-unquote intel coming from Russia. It was disinformation, of course, the P tape and whatnot, the Steele dossier. But you see, John Lewis said it. They respect John Lewis. He's a Democrat. Did you hear all this uproar on the left about those comments? They were reported on, sure. Did Chuck Todd get all high and mighty with John Lewis? Of course not, because he respects John Lewis. They don't respect Ronna McDaniel. Joe Scarborough went out of his way to... Was he reading this? Because it sounds like he's reading.
I mean, he was making very strong eye contact with what looked like a teleprompter.
Yeah, he's reading it from a teleprompter.
We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday.
By the way, I'm sure that was very humbling for Joe Scarborough. I found out about this from the press.
We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
A story that has been so wildly taken out of context. And I'm not going to relitigate that whole issue. You can watch the interview if you missed it yesterday. But of course, Mika had to have her chance at reading from the teleprompter.
To be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage.
Isn't she talking so naturally? That's exactly how she speaks all the time. Just like that. Not in a way that almost makes it sound like she had her attorney or agent double check with her contract to make sure she doesn't go into the territory that gives them the ability to can her. And so they said, okay, you can do this, but you can't say this. Oh, just put it down on a script so I don't screw it up.
But it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. And we hope NBC will reconsider its decision.
Well, they're not. I mean, it would be interesting if they ended up doing that because they'd have to pay her out for her entire contract. And there's not going to be a no-compete clause that doesn't work when you get canned. I mean, Don Lemon made more money from one interview with Elon Musk that ended up canceling his entire contract out. He was just paid to go away. That sounds like a great gig if you can get it, especially if you're Don Lemon because he's got no talent. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, Candace Owens, she was canned from the Daily Wire, which is precisely what she wanted. And now she's running a wonderful scam. I say, in my opinion, don't sue me, Candace. We're going to get into that when we return on The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. Don't forget, you can become a podcast subscriber at KTTH.com. You can listen to the podcast via the KTTH app, or just go to wherever it is you get podcasts, search the name Jason Rants, hit the subscribe button. Every single day, we do an extra show. It's the show after the show. It's called The Leftovers. And if you are having me stay in this studio longer than necessary and not actually becoming a subscriber and helping me hit my bonus, I will be very, very upset with you. So please, I would appreciate it if you would become a podcast subscriber. And if you don't, you're very selfish. Okay, I'm half kidding. Candace Owens is in the category that includes a word that is incredibly overused and quite annoying, actually, in the way that it's used. But I think this qualifies. This is a grift. Candace Owens, I think, is part of a grift. She is a quote-unquote grifter. She decided to force Daily Wire to fire her. That's precisely what it is she wanted. Because then she could say that she was ousted from her livelihood by, and she'll do this in dog whistles, the Jews. She has, for whatever reason, decided to embrace anti-Semitism. And she has both said things and liked things on Twitter that are pretty egregious. But she was calling out Ben Shapiro, who's the co-founder of The Daily Wire. She would call out her boss, Jeremy Boring, the other co-founder. And she was trying to get canned. And I remember a few months ago, right at the start of the war against Hamas, she was trying really hard to get fired. Because with that, she probably was looking at some of the people like Jack Hinkle, who is a virulent anti-Semite before he, however, wasn't, because he actually came from the BLM side of things, another grifter. There's a lot of money to be made there. And she knows she can go independent. She knows that the media atmosphere is no longer what it once was. where you used to have a big network behind you or millions and millions and millions of dollars behind you. But that's no longer the case. People have figured out how to make podcasting work and how to make it profitable. And if you go the independent route, which she can now go, well, she's going to make a whole lot more money. And she'll have no one to answer to. Now, the truth is, at Daily Wire, they let you say pretty much anything. As long as it's not going to get them sued, or even if they think it might get them sued, they just want to make sure if you're going to say something that you're in the legal right to say it. But they give an enormous amount of leeway to all of their hosts. I know this. I'm friends with Ben. We talk about this. I know hosts there like Michael Knowles. They enjoy the freedom to express themselves. But at some point, if all you're going to do is either bash the company you work for, or in some cases, not even so subtly, lean into anti-Semitism, yeah, there's only so much that they're going to take, even if firing you is what you wanted. Now, Andrew Klavan hosts a show with The Daily Wire. I don't know if it's daily. It might be every other day. This is a guy who used to be Jewish, and he actually converted to Christian. That almost never happens. It's usually the reverse. People convert to become Jews, but he did it in reverse. This is a guy who is a serious scholar. He's a religious scholar, and he spent his entire show last week addressing the Candace Owens issue. And he explained, I think, really clearly how Candace Owens has really just leaned into the crazy, because there's a lot of stuff that she said and did that did not get the attention of Twitter. It didn't trend on Twitter. And so he wanted to be very specific about why she was a problem.
You know, she's complaining about him. Fine. You don't like a rabbi? You're allowed not to like. You're allowed not to like Ben. You're allowed not to like anybody you don't like, if you can spell it out for me what the problem is. But when you start saying things like some of those books Hitler burned weren't so bad, you know, I was shocked. This is something Candace actually said. I was surprised to learn that the books Hitler was burning or the Nazis were burning, they weren't good books. They were bad books. They were socialist books. So, you know, they burn. That's true. Burning the book is the act of a savage, first of all. And when you start with burning books, you start burning people.
Which I think Nazis proved. So that's the kind of language that she was using. And there is a large, it's a small group overall, but online, there's a large group of folks who believe this garbage and will give people like Candace or Hinkle and others money to show their support. Nick Fuentes, who is a white supremacist, this is an anti-Semite, he has a large enough following to sustain his lifestyle because he found enough people within a small group of hate mongers. They happen to be on the right. Now, I think there's a lot more intolerance on the left, but we've got some problems on the right as well, fringes on both sides. Do not fall for her shtick. There's a lot of people who see the message of I'm going up against the establishment, the mainstream. And I think instinctively Republicans want to embrace that because traditionally that has meant liberals who have too much control, who overstep all the time. And so our message is tailor-made for those people. And I have to imagine some of them are in the audience right now. Some of them might fall for this. Do not. She just wants your money. If you like Candace Owens, okay. It's not like I hate everything that she says. I don't. She's a conservative or plays one on TV. And she says a lot of things that I'll agree with. But just because I agree with someone on some things does not mean that they are deserving of our support when they go into the deep end. And it doesn't mean that when the quote-unquote establishment offers criticism, it doesn't mean that the establishment is wrong. Sometimes they're right. And in this case, they've been right the entire time. The entire time. So do not fall for this. With that said, the establishment is out to get me, and I would appreciate it if you would subscribe to my Substack. It's only $49.99 a month. And I don't contribute any content to it, and I just took the Jason Rantz name on Substack so someone else wouldn't before me, and then put out a whole bunch of trolling information, which I do from time to time when there's a new service that's added. But other than that, you should definitely subscribe and give me your money. 1-800-465-8770 is my text if you want to send me a note. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget to become a podcast subscriber, which is free instead of the Substack. I'll accept the podcast subscription to the Jason Rantz Show on AM 770 KTTH.
The Biden administration is trying to introduce Republican-eating grizzly bears to Washington State. We'll talk to the brave congressman that's trying to save our lives and stand in the way. Tuesday morning on the Brian Suit Show.